Hello, good morning, everybody. Nice to see you this Shabbat morning. It's been a tough week trying to get this system set up right, but unfortunately, we could not fix the worship section. We will have that fixed by tomorrow, or next Shabbat. Excuse me about my grammar there. Unfortunately, the cards didn't play in our favor to get that corrected. And I do apologize about that. So we are going to have to skip that part of the service. And just want to thank you for coming to the second Fellowship of Yah Ministries program. We do appreciate your attendance and we thank you for it. But as always, the biggest and most important attendee that we have is Yehovah himself and his angels. He's always here with us when we do service for him, no matter what church, congregation, or building you are in worshiping him. So, just real quick, my name is Devlin. I am an ordained minister, pastor, and I am the shepherd of this ministry. We have my wife, Soraya Oyer, who is the leader of our children's ministry. She's here today as well. We have Jody Graham, who is our prayer coordinator and our street ministry leader, and Misty Bird, who is our online coordinator. If you are at the website and you have any problems, be sure to check out the chat box, create a login, and just reach out to Misty if you have any problems. She will be able to guide you to where you need to go or what you have to do. If there's a problem with the stream and it starts acting up, please be sure to F5 to refresh. Or you can go up to the refresh sign on your browser and refresh the stream. You can also navigate to the Fellowship of Yah YouTube page, which is www.youtube.com/Fellowship of Yah Ministries. It's our channel, and our live stream is up there as well. Alright, so now that that's out of the way, let's open up in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come today before you to worship your name, to hear your word, to learn our lives a little bit closer to you, and to be able to learn how to know you better. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for having the ability to reach the masses out in internet land and to be able to bring this ministry into existence. We just bless you, we exalt you, and we thank you for this day that you have made, and we rejoice and are glad in it. We lift you up and exalt you for everything that you have done, for all the provisions that you have given, and we just thank you, Father. We do. There is no Father as great as you. In Yeshua's mighty name. Amen and amen. Okay, so like I said, we're going to skip the morning worship and just go into the service itself. Our bulletin this week, the forgiveness and salvation of pre-will fellowship. Last week I did fellowship and it was a good service, and it was to kind of say where the name Fellowship of Yah Ministries came from. But you know, I was moved to make it a three-part series. So last week was fellowship, and this week is forgiveness and salvation, a prequel to fellowship part one. It's actually part two, but it's part one of this section. So basically we got the nursing home ministry, which is a current outreach program that starts this coming Thursday at 2 p.m. at the Consulate Healthcare of Lakeland, Florida. If you are interested in coming and you're in the Lakeland area, please contact the staff at the www.fellowshipofyah.org About Us section. It has all of our emails there, and our contact information is also on the website. Please reach out to us if you want to help. If you want to assist us in our homeless ministry, which is taking place soon, we are accepting donations for blankets, clothes, jackets, toiletries, non-perishables, whatever you can send, whatever you can add to this ministry, it would help greatly. We really need some assistance in this ministry. We want to help the homeless. They have nobody help them. And if Yeshua is homeless, we need to reach out to Yeshua, even though he can provide for himself. We got to have a giving spirit because Yehovah loves a giving person and a giving spirit. So, like I said, the information is on the website. If you want to reach out to us, the address is there. Another thing, the weekly bulletin is on the front page, the homepage. If you scroll down below the video that's there, that powerful video that's there, the bulletin is there. You can just highlight it and print it for yourselves so you have it as we start our morning service. It's updated every Sunday after the service. We are starting a Bible study class exactly from next Wednesday, 2 weeks. From this coming Wednesday, we're starting a Bible study class. What we're going to do, we're going to set up a meeting. I will have there will be a new page on the website to show you how to get it set up and everything like that. I'll have a step-by-step tutorial on getting set up. We're going to study Yabez. I'm not going to go into what that's all about because we can get in a whole ordeal and it'd take me an hour just to explain that. But every other week, we're going to study Yabez, and then the in-between weeks, we're going to have a Bible trivia that's going to cover all sorts of things. Just kind of mix it up. We don't want to get stagnant. All right. Now, this next part, I don't like saying this part because it's asking for tithe and offering, and I don't want you to think that I'm doing this ministry because I want to get money from you. I really don't. My job is to present his word in a way that people can understand. I'm not going to use big college words and confuse the masses that can't understand them. I want to break it down for you. But it's also my job to give the commandments of Yehovah and to be a good steward of his commandments so you know what is asked of you as a believer. And tithing and offering is one that is asked of you. There's a donate button on our tithing and offering page. If you want to donate that way, you can. If you want to send something as an offering, the address is on that as well. If you're not comfortable using the PayPal, then you can also send in a check or money order for your tithe. Just be obedient to that. It all goes into the ministry, I can promise you that. And on a yearly basis, we will be releasing a usage of the tithe and offering so you know that the ministry is using the money and people aren't just using it for their own good. We want to make you feel secure that your obedience is getting used for the right purpose and not just to forward somebody else's agenda. Okay. Now at this moment we're going to internet land people. If you have any children available, we're going to pray over the children. Just give me one quick moment here. I need to just check everything. If there's some static in the audio, I do apologize. We are going to have a new microphone system implemented next week to take care of that. So with no further ado, I'm going to invite my wife up here to give the blessing over the children. If you have children, just lay a hand on them and just know that we're just reaching out to them all. My son is here and he's in his crib, almost 9 months old now. Poor little thing. He doesn't know how to behave and he likes to cry a lot, so he goes in his crib when he cries. Whoa, poor guy. But he'll be out here when he starts behaving. So no further ado, Soraya, here you go.
Hi, Shabbat Shalom. I'm just going to, I guess, say a quick prayer of the children. Abba Father, we come to you with thanks, and we thank you so much for the blessings of the children that you give us, and we just pray that you give them peace, that you keep them covered and protect them, and that you keep their families and their guardians or their parents protected, and give them the knowledge to teach them the right way that they should go according to your word. And we just thank you so much. We love the children, and we just pray blessings over them in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you, Soraya, for that beautiful prayer. Now, one thing I'm going to add to that, not to the prayer, but just some knowledge about praying over the children. It's important to teach our children the way the Father wants them to be taught. As believers, it's our responsibility to, once again, I'll say it again, be good stewards of the Father, of Yehovah. And being a good steward is acting like Him. And He's a dad, He's a father, He's a He's our holy parent. And when we want to be Messiah-minded, we need to remember that we have to be a parent as well. And being a good father, being a good mother is imperative. These children, we're stuck in this world where children are being fed all sorts of garbage. They're being raised to dress in a manner that I can tell you right now, we got somebody here, I'm not going to mention any names, but had the little girls dressed the way they did back when this person was a teenager, I guarantee a mama would have grabbed a frying pan and slapped them upside the back of the head. So, if you're a parent, quit dressing your kids in short shorts and skirts and halter tops, especially if they're under, you know, a decent age, you know, 15 and under even. You want them to present the father, and the father is really strict about clothing. And well, that's another message. I'm not going to get into that. But dress your children. Now, I was out at Walmart the other day, and I think there was a 10-year-old little girl. I'm sitting there looking down the aisle. A 10-year-old little girl had a skirt up so high that I'm like, really? If I got a 8-year-old daughter, and if I seen her dress like that, I'd probably lose my cool. And I'm a minister. I'm not allowed to lose my cool. Anyways, let's go into this message today. I'm excited about this message. It's something that some people might get offended by it, but when it comes to the Father, people get offended sometimes because they don't like what they hear. But when change comes, sometimes you're not going to like what you hear. Father, we pray for your anointing over this message, for my words to be your words, that you work through me, that you send your spirit to deliver the words and give me the words to use. I pray for your will, and I pray that you reach the hearts of every person listening. Every person. And I pray for change. And it's something that needs to be done throughout this entire world, but at least I can preach it. We all need to change, and we pray that you allow change in the hearts of those who are listening and those who will listen. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Alright. Forgiveness and salvation, a fellowship to worship. A prequel to fellowship. Sorry. Forgiveness and salvation, a prequel to fellowship, part one. Last week we discussed how to fellowship with the Father, His Son, the Spirit, and with each other. We learned what was needed from us to be able to do this. We learned mainly that we needed to change from our old ways and learn new ways to do things. Today we're gonna take a step backward, and we're gonna see what we have to do to get to the point to learn how to fellowship with Yehovah, with Yeshua, with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, if you don't know what Ruach HaKodesh means. I touched on this a little bit last week, but I kept it short because I had a feeling I was going to go into this week. Our Savior Yeshua is always waiting for us to accept Him into our hearts. He's like that little poke at your chest saying, you're doing wrong, but you're just not ready to accept Him to listen. And He's waiting for us to let Him lead our lives. Until we make this choice, we cannot learn to fellowship with them, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and each other in the way the Father wants us to. That's what I was getting into a little bit last week, for the most part. So without further procrastination, let's get started. Everything starts with the acceptance of the Messiah, of Yeshua, into our hearts. It's not the easiest thing to do. As a child, I spent many Sundays, not Saturdays, yes, Sunday, we were Sunday worshipers growing up, going to Sunday school, and I would go up to the youth pastor, and I'd say, I want to get saved, and I'd say the prayer that he told me to say, and I didn't say it with my heart, and then I'd say, I want to go get baptized, and I did this a numerous amount of times growing up. But when I turned 32 years of age, something happened, and I met a woman by the name of Brenda, very special lady. She's a very powerful, very spiritual lady, who said that, are you saved? And I said, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And She's like, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah. She said, "No, you're not." I'm like, "Why?" She's like, "'Cause he ain't in your heart. I can tell. If you are, say, 'I am a true child of the King.'" Well, I kept on saying it, and I couldn't say, "I'm a true child of the King." I kept on saying, "I'm a child of the King," or "I'm this of the King," but I never said, "I'm a true child of the King." So when I turned 32, I finally, in that moment that she was asking, I finally said, "You know what? I am a true child of the King," and he entered my heart, and I asked him to come in. It was awesome, and the Holy Spirit was poured into me. You can ask him into your heart, but if you are not ready to let go of this world, you will only be fooling yourselves. I will show you this point later on. Now, we are going to go a little out of order. I want to start in forgiveness and repentance. Salvation through Yeshua comes first because you can't learn how to forgive and repent without having him showing you the way. But I want to pave going from the end of the road to the beginning of the road so you can see the road that you have to walk as you start your walk, so you'd be ready to accept the challenges that lie ahead. After we learn how to accept the Messiah in our hearts, we will, at this point, have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, poured into us. And I'm telling you, when you're drunk with that Spirit, and I'm pretty sure people in this room knows exactly how that feels, because we all have been drunken with Spirit at one point or another, even though we haven't realized it. It's a special feeling, and when it happens, there's so much joy you really don't know what you're experiencing. Then we will have to be willing to ask for forgiveness and seek repentance for the sins of our lives. Finally, we have to learn to build a relationship with Yeshua and His Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. You can kind of think of the Holy Spirit as a powerful and holy Jiminy Cricket. You really can. But when I say a powerful and holy Jiminy Cricket, that puts Jiminy Cricket down on the ground as a piece of sand, and him all the way up there to Jupiter, wherever you want to put him in the universe. That's how far apart they are separately, but that's a good way to put it. Now we're going to start in Romans 10:9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yeshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Jehovah hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." When you accept Yeshua as your Savior, you open yourself to change. Now, before I finish what I've got here, open yourself up to change. Now, my wife, I asked her about my tie this morning. She's like, "Oh, you look good. You look good." And then I go and I ask my mother-in-law about my tie. And she said, "You look a little busy." So my wife is going to tell me what I want to hear, but my mother-in-law is going to tell me what I need to hear. That's what Yeshua does. Your friends are going to tell you what you want to hear, but Yeshua is going to tell you what you need to hear. I'll let y'all be the judge. I'm pretty sure most of y'all would be in agreement. I'm wearing black. I got this tie right here. Is that a little busy? Yeah, that's a little busy. This is subtle. Keeps y'all on the message. Y'all ain't so much looking at my tie. So I think mother-in-law was right. We're going to put that to the side. Yay, mother-in-laws. All right, so you have to open yourself up to change. And just little subtle stuff like that is a precursor to what Yeshua actually is going to do in you. He starts, and I know this for a fact, he starts the change in you subtly. But based on how well he knows you that you can progress, he will progress you to change faster. At your pace. Not at anybody else's pace, but the pace he sets for you. Really important that you remember that. You have to come to agreement to forgiveness for all of your fleshly transgressions against the Messiah. You must be able to become a new creature, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, which is a staple of Fellowship of Yah Ministries. It's our vision scripture. It's something that we got to keep in mind, because we all become a new creature. "Therefore, if any man be in Messiah, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If we are created new, we must be at a place that puts to death the old selves and sins and allows a new creature, a new man, a new woman, to serve and be servantile to the Messiah and the Father. If we are unable to be servantile to the Messiah, how can we have a relationship and grow in him? It's really important we're servantile, because when we're servantile, we do the things he wants us to do, and it trains us to be a warrior in his army when he needs us. And it helps us build that relationship. Confessional forgiveness, Romans 8:1. Confessional forgiveness. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Yeshua the Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Ruach. Now, no condemnation to them which are in Yeshua the Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Ruach. So walking after the Ruach, the Spirit comes in you. So you walk after the Spirit because he's your guide. It's like when you're in a, you're going down a wood trail, and you got an Indian guide with you to take you through these Indian lands because they know it. They're always in front, and you're following behind so you don't get lost. You don't lead the pack. Well, anytime that you have the Spirit in you, you have to let him be your front. You can't be in front of the Spirit. He has to guide you. And then the Spirit, when you pray, when you have fellowship with the Spirit, goes to Yeshua. Yeshua's watching your every move, just like Yehovah is watching your every move. And then Yeshua reports to the Father. And the Father says to Yeshua and the Spirit, what's to happen to us? Because they are our intercessors. Yeshua is the only intercessor we have. And the Spirit is how we talk to Yeshua. And Yeshua is how we talk to the Father. Keep that in mind for our relationship. We need to keep that relationship alive. It's very important. If you leave the confines of the world, its comfort, and find salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua, you will find no condemnation. You will find salvation through the forgiveness of your sins. When you confess your sins, you will be forgiven of your sins according to this verse. We can look into 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 to see how clean we can become when we confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. That's Yeshua. Is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So according to 1 John 1:9, if we confess all our sins, we will be cleansed of all unrighteousness we have committed in our lives up until the point we accept Yeshua as our Messiah. If we sin after the point we accept Yeshua as our Messiah, we must continue to ask for forgiveness and repent of our sins. We can't just sit there and go through our lives cursing, drinking, being drunkards, doing these things that are sinful and saying, okay, I don't have to confess my sins. We have to give an account for everything we do, especially after we accept the Messiah, because he's in us. His Spirit is in us, and he knows what we do. We have to confess the sins even after we're saved. And then we need to make an intent to repent of those sins. Now we'll go into that a little bit more in depth later on, but we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 5, verse 32. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The common goal is our sins we need to ask forgiveness and repent. So Yeshua here is telling us that he wants the sinners to come to repentance. With this verse, we learn that through Yeshua we can find forgiveness, but also need to repent when we accept him. That is his desire for us to do. Even after we accept him, that's his desire for us to do. Keep that in mind while we move forward. Repentance. Let's look into this word. Repentance. Strong's Greek Concordance 3341. Metanoia. Repentance. A change of mind. A change in the inner man. Remember what we just covered? A new creature. A change in the inner man. So your inner man dies, and that new inner man is reborn with the Spirit. When we repent of our sins and do it wholeheartedly, we, according to definition, have a change in our inner selves, our inner man, our inner woman. Like the message last week, we have to be open to change. And if we want to live in a Messiah way, we have to have a will and desire to change in the manner that he wants us to change. Like the tie. I liked where I wanted to wear that tie, but I had to change. As simple as that. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Blotted out. Not erased. Blotted out. It's kind of like when you write on a piece of paper and scratch it out so it can't be seen. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yehovah. Before we define a word here, can you see where this week's message is going? We are learning how to ask for repentance, or ask for forgiveness, and then repent. Converted, 4762 of Strong Street Concordance, Streetfall. Properly, to turn, transition. Figuratively, to convert by changing, switching direction. An example, go the other way, an about face, taking an opposite or divergent course. Okay, so converted, you're changing. Once again, you're changing. So when you go into changing through repentance, you're, once again, changing. It's like changing clothes. It's like changing what you eat. You know, as I am, I don't eat pork. Do I not like pork? No, I love it. Give me the biggest BLT with as many pieces of bacon on that sandwich. I tell you what, a year ago, I would have ate that thing up. I would have, but this year, I can't. I had to change. Pork's unclean. It's something you're not supposed to eat. Why? Well, there's many reasons, but we're not going to get into that. You might want to research it a little bit. Let's put it like this. They lead to heart attack for a reason. Brothers and sisters, this message today is a message that is going to take a couple of weeks. Today we are covering forgiveness and repentance. How many of you know how hard it is to ask for forgiveness and then take it a step farther and ask for repentance? We're on that for a moment. As we go into the book of Luke once again, we will discover the price of the lack of repentance. Some will say, I'm saved, I'm covered by the blood, which we are, but there's a step after the blood we got to take. I'm good, I can do whatever I want, and ask for forgiveness, and I will still be okay. Well, I tell you that people like this, who never ask for that forgiveness after they find Yeshua, people like this that don't repent of their sins after they find Yeshua, they're in for a rude awakening on the day of judgment, because I believe that the scriptures are very clear that if you don't ask for forgiveness and you don't repent, you're going to be held accountable. And those sins won't be blotted out because you never asked for forgiveness. Luke 13:3. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as well. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as well. Remember that. Like I said before, those who think the blood will blot out all sin after salvation has been given are sadly totally wrong, because you got to continue to ask for forgiveness and repent. We have to repent and try our hardest not to commit those sins again. It is imperative that we take a conscious stand against the sin that we used to commit, the sin we continue to commit, and say, no, we're not going to commit those because I ask for forgiveness and I'm repenting against it. Perish. Let's look into this word perish. 4881. Sunapalumi, to destroy with, to perish together. Now let's think about this word perish for a moment. We use perish especially on one thing, and that's food. For starters, when we describe the two separate types of food, we have non-perishables, we have perishables. To put into context what Yeshua is telling us in Luke 13:3, for those who don't understand all these college words, I didn't go to seminary, I'm not going to use college words, even though I could. I don't want to be confusing, because there's a lot of people that don't understand these college words. What we would consider perishable foods is kind of like our soul. If perishable food has to be taken care of in a certain way to stay good, then what could be said about your soul compared to unperishable foods? Our soul needs to be taken care of. Unperishable foods, you throw them in cabinet, they stay good for as long as they're up there, the date that's stamped on it. Well, we don't have a date stamped on us. As long as we take care of us, we last until the Father takes us from this earth. As long as we allow ourselves to follow Yeshua, we will be good. Always. Everlasting life. But if we don't, we will get a date stamped on us. And Yeshua won't save us because we didn't accept him. And then we die and go to a second death. Think about that for a moment. With that said, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, we are perishable. Pride makes us think that we are untouchable. But that is why it is considered a deadly sin. Deadly sin. There's seven of them, but there's a lot more than that. Those seven sins encapsulate every sin that we can do on this earth. Let's continue into our study. 2 Peter 3:9. Yehovah is not slow concerning his promise, as some regard slowness, but is being patient toward you, because he does not wish for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Yehovah does not want us to perish, but like all good parents, we are given free will and a choice that we have to make and must decide is what side of the fence we are going to stand on. The side of Yehovah or the side of our flesh. That decision ultimately is up to you. I gotta go off on a bunny trail, because I got a feeling somebody here, not in this building, but somebody in the internet world, is going to watch this that needs to hear what I'm about to say. Some doctrines believe in predestination. Okay? Are we predestined to go to hell? Are we predestined to find salvation? Are we predestined to stop drinking? Are we predestined to preach? Are we predestined to get married? Are we predestined to do whatever it is that we think we're supposed to do? The answer to that question is simple. And it's hard to understand because it's a comprehension issue. The Father tells us in His Word that we are called by His name and He knows everything that's going to happen. Okay? Well, it also says His Word that we have free will. So if He knows what we're going to happen and we have free will, does it mean we don't have a choice to change what he knows is going to happen? We can look at Saul and the Amalekites to say, yes, we can change. He says, I know this is going to happen and I know you're going to change, but because of sin, we have an ability to say, no, we're not going to change, or yes, we can change. We can turn away from that. Saul and the Amalekites was told, Saul and his army was said, don't take anything from them. Destroy everything. And what they do, they took one person, if I'm not mistaken, they took one person and their cattle and their food. And Saul was taken from power, and David took the power when he was called. Remember that. It's important to know that predestination only exists if you allow it in your mindset. He always gives us the free will. Okay, well, you ask, well, if the free will's there and He has the power to change it, why don't He just make us love Him? Well, if you're a husband or a wife, what good is it having a husband or wife if you make your spouse love you? Isn't it more rewarding that your spouse love you because they want to? Think about that for a moment. All right, let's just continue on. I had to go into that because somebody that's going to listen to this message or is listening to this message believes in predestination and doesn't want to change. And it's a part of the core of what we have to do. Acts 17:30. Elohim overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now He commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and to turn to Him. What we're seeing in Acts is that Yehovah is not asking, requesting, or suggesting that we repent. On the contrary, He is demanding, commanding, and ordering us to repent. It's not a suggestion, people. Why does He take such harsh action? Why is He demanding, commanding, and ordering? Well, the answer is simple, but it is not easy. Because it's not easy for us to understand where He's coming from, because He's Elohim, He's Yehovah, and we can't comprehend His thought process. Yehovah gave up His Son to sacrifice. I can't understand that. And most people on this earth can't understand what it's like to give up your Son. The one person who could and who didn't actually have to do it is Abraham, who almost killed his son out of a test. We can't understand that. He allowed his son to be slaughtered for our sins. He sat back, tied his hands, sat on his thumbs, and watched his son go to a tree, across a torture stake, and get tortured and slaughtered like a pig for our sins. If he can do that, why shouldn't we change to accept his son and find forgiveness and repentance? I think that action alone gives him the right to demand it. Truth be told, we are demanded to repent because it is the only way to finally have sin removed and to help us make a true stand against the sin we committed before we knew Messiah. It is a choice and a free will, and free will is ours to use, but to escape perishing and death and receive eternal life, we must ask for forgiveness and repentance of our sins. It is the only way. When we accept Yeshua and he comes into our life and his spirit is poured out, once we commit a sin after that, what we're actually doing is crucifying him again. There's scripture to back that up. I'm going off on blank trail here, but it's not here. There's a scripture about that, and I'll have that for next week, but we are crucifying him again. And he's taking that sin off of us again. And we're asking him to be lashed 39 times. We're asking him to get stabbed once again, 3 more nails to be put into him, and for him to bow his head with his crown of thorns and say it is finished every time we sin after we accept him. And he feels that pain. According to the scripture, he feels that it's disturbing and it saddens me and gets me upset just talking about it. But he feels that crucifixion every time we sin after we find him. We need to go over what we learned, because I wanted to make this a quick, because we were supposed to have a worship service, so I didn't get a whole bunch to cover because I wanted to take it off into two things. Let's go over what we learned and summarize our venture thus far. Before we do that, let me make something clear. As a shepherd of the flock that's being given to me to look over for Yahweh, you all need to know that these messages, these sermons that I am giving, aren't just for you, the listeners, but they're for me as well. I am growing just as much as you are by listening to me, and by writing these sermons, I grow as an individual, as in my walk with the Messiah, but as well as a pastor and as a minister, because these are things I need to not only learn and take in, but I need to act this way and be a good steward for the Messiah and the Father. It's really important that I'm a good steward. It's really important that I project the Son anytime that I can, make the right decisions, and I could call up my wife right now and she'd tell you, oh, well, listen what he did yesterday. Boy, he got so angry at this, and, you know, she'd be right. I make mistakes. I'm a human man, and men are prideful. They get angry quickly sometimes, and I used to have a major anger problem. I actually curved off a lot. I don't know if that's because of age, or the credit's actually probably due to Messiah, but I was willing to change. I asked for forgiveness, and I repented of my anger, sins, and everything like that, and it changed everything in me. You know, I went into my question about my mom last week, or not a question, but into my issues with my mom last week as a child. And that anger that existed back then when I was 15 years old, nose to nose, screaming at my mother because I was a disobedient, rebellious child, that anger's been gone for well over a year now, and I'm thankful to the Lord for taking that away from me. Point number one, when we come into a relationship with the Messiah, Yeshua, we have to learn to ask for forgiveness and repent of our sins. This learning is a free will choice, but is a demand from the Father that we do if we want to have eternal life with him. Point number two, we are given a free will to make a choice what to do, but with all actions come an equal reaction. Therefore, we must put to death the sins and iniquity of the old self, and then allow a new creation to be born through acceptance and repentance of our sins. Now, when we go into the actions comes with an equal reaction that's a theory of logic that's put in, that's used every day, you know. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Something that in science class you're going to learn about, you know. You drop a piece of nitrogen into some gasoline, and that's going to cause a reaction. It's going to actually spin around like a little tornado little thing, and it's going to look weird, but it's really cool. You got to try it. Get some dry ice and some gasoline, no flame, and just drop a piece of that dry ice in there, and it's going to spin around like a little tornado. It looks really cool, but that's the change of it. And it's really interesting when you look at action and reaction. Okay, so I accept the Father and His Son into my life. My wife accepts the Father and the Son into her life. And we go from doing drugs, living in sin, to completely blowing the mind of our family members. Completely. You should, I can't say what Soraya's family feels like. I can only tell you what they act like, which is, wow, I can't even believe this is my child anymore. This is a new creature. It's like, who is she? You know, and my family's like, whoa. Devlin, you don't have something to smoke? Nope, no cigarettes, no marijuana, none of that. And that's the reaction. That's the equal reaction. We chose to change with the Messiah moving us to change. And the reaction was a family with open arms saying, wow, I'm so happy. It took them time to get used to it, to accept it, because they are so used to us trying to change and wasn't able to because we didn't have the Messiah in our lives. And then finally, it took, I think, about a year and a half for them to realize, oh, wow, there is a change. And now their arms are embracing. And it's wonderful. But then there's those other changes that cause a reaction where, like, for example, the holidays. We don't celebrate Thanksgiving. We don't celebrate Halloween. We don't celebrate Christmas or Easter or 4th of July or any of those pagan holidays. And there's family members that are like, why? You're giving thanks. That's Thanksgiving, giving thanks to the Lord. Well, this is a whole new sermon in all in itself, and I'm not going to go into why, but the reaction is our family isn't so accepting of it because it's what they do, and it's a change that they're not willing to accept. And by us not doing these things, it kind of puts a little awe. You know, there was a division caused in this household when we first moved to Florida because me, through my learning curve, didn't know how to approach somebody who wanted to do Christmas. And instead, I was one of those Torah thumpers and said, no, no, no Christmas in this house. We're not going to do it. And I was wrong and wrong and wrong. And I caused, through my action, the biggest division that could have been happened. Since then, that division has been erased and the relationship has gotten better. But it was that reaction or that action that I took because I didn't listen to the way the Father was telling me to act that caused a division and an equal reaction that didn't need to happen. You see where this is going? Every action you make has a reaction. So if you want to find eternal life, you have to have the action of forgiveness and repentance so your reaction gives you eternal life forever in heaven with the Father and His Son. And forever joy and no sadness, no hurt, no pain, no sickness, no death, no nothing. All happiness with the Father and His Son. Point number three. There's consequences for our actions and our inability to repent. We will perish. That is not a suggestion. That is a reality. Some people think that, oh, well, we don't know what's going to happen. That's a mystery for after we die, so forth and so on. And no, it's not, you know. My wife asked me a question the other day. If Yahweh and Yeshua are the same, how come Yeshua doesn't know the time of His second coming? And this was a hard question to answer, but as it is on earth, so shall it be in heaven, right? Okay, well, we have Yeshua in us, in His Holy Spirit, but we only know what He tells us. Okay? Think of it like the earth. The earth is Yahweh. Okay, he is the sprout, that he is the foundation that gives everything life. Okay, so Yeshua is the tree. So he gives life to Yeshua before the universe was even created. Trees give off oxygen. That oxygen that the tree gave off, that's the Holy Spirit that we breathe in every single day after we accept his son. Isn't that amazing? Now, why doesn't Yeshua know when his time is going to come? Because it's something the Father held from him. But because Yeshua is God, because God gave his spirit to Yeshua, just like Yeshua gives his spirit to us, we know what we need to know. Yeshua knows everything but his time and second coming. That's what the scriptures tells us. We can't go any farther than that because the scriptures doesn't tell us anything else. But we do know that Yehovah is in Yeshua. So they are the same. But Yehovah is holding back one piece of information. Why? To spare the sadness to his son. Because his son has to watch his children, his bride, that didn't accept him, die and perish. He'll have a glorious wedding with us that accept him after he watches all those that didn't die. And that's, once again, that's a reality a lot of people don't want to understand. If we do not repent of our sins, we will perish. That is our punishment for not being obedient. Point number four. Asking for forgiveness is the easy part. However, the hard part, which I know this and everybody here knows this as well, is turning away from the temptation of the sin you know so well. The booze, the weed, the addiction. I hope no kids are around, but the pornography, everything. The whole nine yards. It's hard to turn away from. It's temptation. You know. But for some, it's addiction, and for others, it's self-control. Either way, sin is a tough battle. But we are even given the victory. Satan's already been defeated. Newsflash. What? This is Satan's world. No, well, if Yeshua's inside you, he's already been defeated. For you. He's already been put to death for you. You just give him power when you give in to your flesh. And that's a choice you make. Once again, free will. Either way, sin is a tough battle, and we can beat it with the Messiah through repentance. But really, this is a message that I can turn into another hour-long message that I will save for later. Last week, we learned how to fellowship with Yehovah and his son. That fellowship is how the name of this ministry came to exist, so I felt led to start there and then bring you back. It turned into a series that we are now getting into the second part of and actually concluding with. It will explain what it takes to get to the point to the fellowship. As a sinner, fellowship for me was calling over my girlfriend, my friends, let's light a joint, play some video games, and do whatever, get high, get drunk. That was fellowship. But I was fellowshipping with Satan because I didn't have the Son in me. But now, I've learned how to fellowship with Yehovah and his Son. And when I do, the family of the people that truly care for me and my family are together and fellowshipping with him. And he is number one point of attention. And it's amazing when that happens. You have to reach out, and if you're still a sinner in this day, you have to reach past that and take a chance, because I know you're like, oh, well, it's not going to happen for me. I like my sin so much. I don't want to give this up. You know, I'm just going to stay comfortable. But it's a leap you have to take. And once you take that leap, believe me, it is completely, totally worth it. Every step of the way. You can't imagine the blessings that the Father gives. The house that I have, you know, there's a single wide trailer right next to me for $950 a month. It has less space than what this house has, and it's, this house that we're in is bigger and much better than the house over there. We have more acreage than the house over there. A blessing to from Yehovah. Not only that, but he gave us the blessing of having a spare room that we can turn into a ministry room. You can't imagine that. It's a blessing. Everything that he's provided to help this ministry come is a blessing. When you give your life over, you will be overwhelmed with blessings once you start to obey. Obedience comes first through repentance and forgiveness, through tithing and offering, through being a giving spirit, through helping, through getting rid of anger, getting rid of addiction, getting rid of sin altogether. And when you disobey and you don't do things that you do, you're committing a sin, whether you believe it or not. I got the example of my wife, white lies. What's wrong, honey? Oh, nothing. Guess what? That's a lie. As innocent as that may seem to not cause an argument, it's still a lie, and that's still a sin. You're still being untruthful, and you have to trust in her. In this situation, she has to trust her spouse not to get angry because something's the matter, you know. But that's how minuscule. If you really take apart your lives, you can find sin in every step you take, and you have to make an effort to keep from committing those sins. As we've covered many things today, I want you all to focus on one thing: yourselves and your sins. Now, this is a really big question I'm about to ask. But I'm not asking this for you to answer me. I'm asking this for you to answer yourself and then look at the Father and the Son for what you want to do. Messiah is at the door of your heart. He is ready to forgive you. He is ready to help you defeat the enemy that has a tie to your life. The question remains, are you ready to answer that door? Are you ready for that change? Are you ready for that new life? Are you ready for the happiness and the joy that comes with the Messiah? It's a joy you won't experience anywhere else, only with Him. No football game, no friend can make you feel the joy and the love that He gives you. Are you ready? Next week, we'll go into part two of this prequel and study how to receive salvation and the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Then we will also tie this whole thing together to paint the path that you are going to walk once you accept the Messiah and the Messiah Yeshua into your life. The path is hard, it's narrow, it can be lonely, but it is so rewarding you cannot even imagine or comprehend the rewards that come with it. So I ask you, please stay tuned, because we are only two-thirds of the way through this three-part series. And the best part, of course, is next week, the salvation, the gifts of the Spirit. I thank you for joining us today. Yehovah bless you and guide you. Now we're going to do some questions and answers here. Let me get out of here. In-house, if there's any questions. And Jody, that doesn't mean make one up. And online, we have, I have my chat box up with our online coordinator, Misty. Are there any questions, Misty? Mom. Yeah, give her a 45 seconds. There's a 45 second delay. Pretty good message. Nothing like last night, huh? The rehearsal was nothing like that. Any real questions, Jody, that you don't have to make up? Okay. I can. That's no problem. We'll get the, So comment was, Jody is thankful that I touched on Thanksgiving thing, and she requested that I do a message about it, and I will. After the holidays are over, after Christmas is over and all that, because if you drink once a week, is that a sin? All right, question, once a week, if you drink once a week, is that a sin? No, it's not a sin. Drinking itself is allowed if it's wine that I know of, beer. Beer makes you a, what is that word, honey? I know me and you know this one. Beer makes you a, what's that word? Wine makes you a mocker. Beer makes you belligerent. And strong drink makes you something else. And that's in Proverbs. Anyhow, while we get that word pulled up, wife is working on that one. If you drink once, it's okay. Vodka is considered strong drink. Any of that is strong drink. Okay, Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known unto all men.
Okay, Proverbs 21.
Chapter 20, verse 1.
Wine is a mocker, beer is a brawler. Whoever staggers because of them is not wise.
Okay, so basically, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 is where your answer lies, Shauna. Wine is a mocker, beer is a brawler, and a drunkard is not wise. So if you're getting drunk, you're sinning. He doesn't want you to get drunk. If you're drinking to enjoy, you drink in moderation, you drink to have fun, and you keep your sobriety. Because remember last week, he wants us to have a sober mind. So with having a sober mind, we have to keep sober, and everything is about moderation. But vodka is a strong drink. If you drink vodka, drink it in moderation. Do not allow yourself to get drunk. If you drink wine, you can drink that. You can actually drink a little bit more wine than vodka because vodka is a strong drink. Wine is not. And you can enjoy wine a little bit longer than the vodka. Do everything you do with moderation. You will be okay. Just do not get drunk. Being a drunkard is a sin, and is, the Lord touches on that quite a bit in the book of Proverbs. So if you just read the book of Proverbs, you see a lot of the things that you need to pay attention to on how you act. Right. My sister says she is moderate. Okay. As long as you're moderate. But remember, you don't need to confess to me whether you're moderate or not. Your moderation needs to be between you and the Messiah. He is the one you talk to. If he tells you you're not being moderate enough, or if he tells you that you're drinking too much, you need to slow it down a little bit and control yourself some more. So reach the Messiah on your moderation level and trust, be honest to yourself. Now, back to what I was saying now that that question's answered. If there's any more questions or comments, go right ahead. But while we're waiting on the confirmation that we're done online after the holidays, after Christmas, because I don't want to ruin anybody's holidays. I want to give people time to make a change, time for the Holy Spirit to work in them. We are going to be covering pagan holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, and Halloween. Halloween is kind of a no-brainer. Christmas is a little bit tougher. It's harder to give up because you see all this giving and everything else, but just a real quick touch, Deuteronomy 12:31 is really why you don't want to celebrate these pagan holidays. I'll let y'all look that up for yourselves. And then if you have any questions, anybody that's online that has any questions that doesn't get asked today, go to the website and go to the email. Send them in to me. And that's at devlin.oyer@fellowshipofyah.org. And I will answer any questions as fast as I can. Once again, if you want to give any donations, any gifts to the ministry to help us grow, you can always visit our tithe and offering page and put in your donation there. I will be honest. Is pool playing a sin if I don't drink and carouse? Or carouse? No. If you're gambling, yes. Gambling is a sin. But if you're just doing it for fun and just having fun, no. It's not a sin at all. Playing pool is fine. Competition, you know. The Lord's always... This is my beliefs. I'm not going to say everybody believes what I believe. But the Lord always is in competition. And he's in competition waiting for us to use our free will. Because Satan's competing openly and trying to take our free will away. Whereas God's just sitting there, I'm going to be there, I'm there waiting on you, It's your free will. I'm not going to make you. Jody, can I use our example? Okay. Jody was in a situation where... Okay, I'll get to that. Jody would like to see was in a situation where she wanted to go up to a mountain and be by herself so she can hear from the Father on what to do. And one side was pulling her and kind of beating her and everything like that into what they wanted her to do. And the other side was saying, just go up to your mountain. We'll be here when you get done. And we'll accept whatever choice you make. Okay, so the side that was saying, do what you got to do and we'll be here for whatever choice you make, that's kind of like what God does on a much bigger scale. And Satan was like the other part that's saying, you're going to do what we tell you to do. That controlling spirit, that's what Satan has. He has a controlling spirit. Just to give you an insight of what that is. If you don't gamble and you just play on the pool, you're fine. No big deal. Just don't get caught up in the sin that's happening around you. Whenever you're in those places, you're opening yourself up to the spirits that are there. The sexual spirits, the drinking and addiction spirits, and the vulgarity spirits. Remember, a person's religion can be judged on their vulgarity. If they're vulgar, their religion is worthless. So, you open yourself up to all sorts of spirits when you're in that type of atmosphere. But if you can control and guard your spirit and go in prayed up and just go and have fun, then you're okay. There's no problem with that. I don't see anyways. And she does have a comment as well. Would like to see a teaching on the holidays. Like I said, that's on the way. I got to pull that one together, and that's going to take a while. Any other questions, comments, concerns, issues? How's the online stream today? Give this another couple of minutes here. Also, for those who are watching in other areas and are wanting, who are in the Lakeland area, just seeing what we are about and then are concerning. Okay. That are just wondering about coming. If you do want to come as a visitor, we are not requiring that you bring food, but after your visitor, we do. If you're a visitor and you want to bring a dish, that's fine. Just no pork or shellfish. We try to keep to the clean laws of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. So no pork, no shellfish. If it doesn't have skins and scales and fins, please do not bring it. And if it doesn't have, or if it has, if it's unclean, like pig, and there's a couple of others. I can't. My mind's drawing blank right now, and I know this, but just look into your Bible for clean and unclean foods, and if it's unclean, don't bring it, because we do not prefer to eat those unclean foods. It's bad for your health, and God made them unclean. Yehovah made them unclean for a purpose. All right, with that being said, there are no more questions online. You sure you don't have one, Jody? Not one you're going to make up either. Okay, and my wife, of course, doesn't have no questions, because me and her go over this sermon multiple times throughout the week. So with that being said, let's close. Abba Father, we thank you for today's message. We thank you for the learning curve that I'm going to get from this message when I listen to it later. We pray that you give me the guidance to give a message in a more timely manner as far as the speed that I deliver and everything. I know I do a little bit on the quick side, and I will get better in my ways of deliverances. We thank you for the people that have joined us, and we ask you to be with them on their travels, wherever they may go, to keep them safe from any bad drivers or any road hazards. We ask you that we're going to lift my sister Shauna up today. We're going to lift her up to you. I want to place her in your hand, Lord. I want to place her in your hand, that any questions that she has about what is right or wrong, that you put a strong sense of the Spirit in her and tell her what's right and wrong as she's making her actions throughout her everyday life at home and when she's on the road at work or wherever she may be. I thank you for my wife. She helps me make all this possible, and for Jody and my mom, Misty, who makes all of this possible. And I thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. I thank you for Susan for helping. She helps, and she is a guide at times when she desires to be. And she helped put a little bit into the sermon today, so she's obviously being used by you to help me as well. So I thank you for her, and I thank you for this ministry. I lift this ministry up, and I lift this ministry up to be your baby, to grow it the way you want it to grow. And I ask you to lift your face among the people. Let your countenance be on the people. May your grace be on the people. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Amen. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Have a good week. Shavua Tov. That means have a good week. And we will see you next Shabbat.